Nikki in the morning.
All right, Nikki, put this on your dating profile and you will get tons of more messages.
Okay, if I were to have a dating profile, maybe I would do this.
You must.
I do not.
You don't?
I do not.
Under a fake name?
No.
Fake photo?
No. Fake photo.
She's like a walking dating profile, you know? Her profile is who she is. She doesn't need to have it online.
I don't know if that is a compliment or not, but I'm going to let it slide.
I'm trying to defend you here.
Okay. I thought every young lady your age has a dating profile.
They come and go.
Okay, so you had one.
Yes, in my life, absolutely. For sure, I have.
Okay, you need to put a picture of yourself with a dog.
Okay.
Okay, and they're saying that if women put a picture with a dog, they get, on average, 150% more messages.
It makes sense. Yeah, because it shows, I think it shows that you have some maybe like maternal instincts that you're caring for something else and keeping it alive, which is nice. Mm-hmm. And dog people love dog people. If I saw somebody's profile with a dog too, I'd be like, they're good people. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, it does work for men too, but not as high in numbers. Oh. In fact, half, they're saying men posing with dogs in their profile, 75% more increase. So there's still an increase.
Wow.
But women, it's 150% increase.
Why do you think the difference there?
I don't know. You tell me. When you see a guy with a big schnauzer, what do? Do you send a message?
Do
you swipe left? Do you swipe right?
I don't know. When you say schnauzer, do you mean the dog?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. If I see a guy with a big schnauzer, I'm in.
It works. It works.
And I learned recently that women actually have an affinity towards dogs, so much so that they actually sleep better with dogs than they do with other humans.
Yes.
Or even other animals.
Yes. We talked about this on the Senka set a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
And it says they're more secure. Women actually sleep better with dogs. They're actually more secure. And they feel that the dog will protect them more in case if there's any incident. And they actually get better sleep than sleeping with a human being.
Well, I actually read not too long ago that most women actually just sleep better without their partner. Like they have better sleep. They do. That they have better sleeps without their partner, but that it's not the same for men. Mm. So men have better sleeps next to their partner, but for women it's not the same.
And you know who gives you the worst sleep?
Who?
They say it's a cat. A cat is the worst thing you can do.
Cats are jerks.
Cats gives the cats are jerks.
I love cats, but they can be jerks. They're a little snotty. I like them. I do. All right. Do you think it's cool for restaurants to set a time limit for diners dining in the restaurant? You can text us at 92925. There was an outraged article in The Telegraph recently, and it discussed the new trend, because this is becoming more and more common, of restaurants imposing a 90-minute time limit on seating times for diners.
I understand on very high-end restaurants, the type of places you're going to these days, Nikki.
Excuse me.
where they have a limited amount of tables.
Yes.
And their only way they're going to make money is if they get a high rotation.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of understand that on these high-end places. But this isn't happening at if I go to Barbie's on Tashiro, let me take my time.
Stay as long as you want.
Eating my California Club sandwich.
But if it's high-end, isn't that even a better argument? Like, I'm spending more money. Shouldn't I have more time at the table?
Yes, I agree with that too. But you're probably going to that restaurant more for the food than maybe the company with your date or whatever and just chatting and stuff. You're there to enjoy that experience of the meal. Here's what we do best. Eat it and get out of here, because we got to make money. That's sort of the premise, but I know it's stressful.
It is stressful. And I got to say, I think this happens less in Montreal and in Quebec than other cities and provinces, because we sort of have that like European feel, you know. But sometimes in Toronto, I'll go there, we'll go to a restaurant, and I am like, she is rushing me. Like I can feel it. I can feel that they're rushing me. And I do feel that sort of energy outside of here a little bit more often. But a friend who is a restaurant owner said, you know, arguably the seat, like once you sit in the seat, once you've ordered your food and your drinks, we're not generating revenue. So like Kat said, if it's a very small restaurant, it could be the difference between losing money that night or making a profit.
And what do you do if you're a restaurant owner and your restaurant's full and you have people lining up outside and maybe it's their first time coming there and you're telling them, listen, I don't know if a table is going to free up. You know how quickly people can change their mind and how first impressions can stick, especially with restaurants. So they're under the gun as well. But I think it goes back to the price point, because when you're, you know, someone like me who doesn't go out and spends a lot on food at restaurants, if I'm going to go and enjoy my evening, maybe I'll be 90 minutes, maybe I'll be 120 minutes. I don't know where the conversation is going to go. But if I'm spending $100 for a meal, I'm going to enjoy myself. And the last thing I want is a waiter over my shoulder, you know, trying to like clear my place before I'm done just to get me out of here.
Somebody texted, what if it takes 45 minutes just to get your food?
That's another good point. Sometimes it takes a long time to get your food. I would be okay with having to spend a certain amount, but they're saying even that's not good enough, you know?
A premium?
Well, no, but saying like, okay, you have to buy another bottle of wine. You can't sit here and nurse water after you've only, you know, I'd be like, okay, give me some more wine. I'd be in on that. But they're saying even in that case, like, because if they were to get rid of you and have a whole new client come in, they'd be spending way more than your one bottle of wine, right?
Right. This happened to a group of mine. We went, we had a reservation, and they told us, listen, we turn into a nightclub at like 9 o'clock.
Right.
And we're going to seat you on the dance floor, but you guys got to be done your meal by 8:30 or whatever. And I didn't feel comfortable. Like it was okay, but then the music started getting louder and I felt I was being rushed for my dessert.
At least they gave you the heads up, right?
Yes.
You know what you're in for. I mean, that's a common courtesy.
Yeah,
I think
I've had that happen before. And at least then they're not giving the table to like somebody else. Like in the other restaurants, it's like, we don't want you. We want someone else sitting in that exact same seat, you know?
I think to get the true experience, you should invite us all out for lunch to one of your fancy high-end restaurants.
Oh, my God.
And then we'll really get the... We'll be able to talk about this much more clear and with a more decisive, you know...
I am so in, and Kat is paying. Thank you, Kat.
No, there was never a thing about that. However, if you want to have us at your restaurant, you can text us at 92925.
A lot of people are saying there are some restaurants that have... two sittings, you know? So they'll tell you there's one at 6 and there's one at 8:30. So they make it very clear when you're making your reservation or when you first go in.
Okay, but that's 2.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty decent.
I agree.
It's not 90 minutes.
Not
it's a
90
huge
minutes.
Difference.
Well, it's about 2 hours because they need time to turn the table over and...
Yeah, 90 minutes is the common time that they're seeing around the world. But is it 90 minutes after you get your food or 90 minutes after you get in?
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. So, you know, Paul is on the phone and he's involved in restaurants as an investor and he knows a lot about this. So what do you think?
I know that in some places in Europe, they have these where they have a sort of a timer on the side that tells you, well, listen, at a common courtesy, you have to be at the restaurant no longer than 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if you look at the margins of these restaurants, they're so tiny that anything that they could do to help them out to have more people coming in, I mean, it always helps. Now, is there a massive lineup in every restaurant where you have to wait for a table? There's not that many in Montreal if you look, a handful maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking that I think if everybody's courteous, and just realizes on the business side of it, it's already very difficult. I don't think it's going to be an issue to force them to stay a certain amount of hours because people should be just naturally courteous and aware of all that.
I can see that point, but like, let's look at the consumer's perspective too. Okay, so I'm planning a night out with friends. We want to go have some food, have some drinks, and we want to talk and we want it to last multiple hours. So what do you suggest we do after we're done our meal in that case?
Well, from what I've noticed at the restaurants, most people that stay for a while always have an aperitif, always going to have a drink or going to have a dessert. So that, you know, pushes you easily 2 hours there.
Mm-hmm.
Most people that are eating and have to go because it's lunchtime, they have, you know, 30 minutes to an hour. So I don't see that being a problem because the people that usually stay do spend. They're not just sitting there, you know, having a cup of coffee for a dollar, you know?
Yeah. Very good point. Although, if you're on a bad date, you almost want that 90 minutes.
That's
to be
a really good, great point. You could set up a whole restaurant that evolves around dates. Like, for that reason, it could be shorter. You could give your number when you make the reservation so they can call you if you need to get out really quickly and they could pretend they're your friend who
or
has an emergency.
Different sections of the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're on a first date? We're going to give you the 30-minute section.
Yeah.
Oh, you've been married for 20 years? Okay, here's the 1.5 hour section.
Yeah. You met on Tinder? Okay, you're going to be over here. Match.com? Okay, you're taking life a little more seriously. You
like
go to this
going
section.
With this? Yeah.
I noticed too, though, Nikki, though, when we talk about dating relationship advice, and people can't see this, but you always go to Sam and you look at Sam and you ask him questions like, I've got way more experience. Why don't you ask me any like relationship advice?
Do people come to you for relationship and dating advice?
Not as much dating advice because I don't know what's been going on in the dating scene. It's changed so much in the last 5 to 10 years.
Okay.
With you and your apps and your Tinder profiles. But relationship advice, I know a bit.
We'll see how good you are at this. We'll test you, okay? So these are like the most common dating questions people have around the holidays, okay? I want to hear, I'm going to be grading you on your advice.
And you're going to pretend that these are issues in your life?
Yes.
And I'm going to give
you
you're
going to give me the advice.
Oh,
okay.
I'm sweating here.
Okay. So Kat, you want to be the advice giver. Do I buy a present for someone I just started dating around the holidays?
I'm going to say no, you know, present, maybe a bottle of wine or perhaps
a little token,
but present, no.
That's actually good advice. I think Sam has given the similar advice before.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're tied.
Okay. You're tied. 1-1. Should I bring someone I'm newly dating to family gatherings?
Ooh, that depends on your family. If it's a loose, casual, just, you know, way we're going to have some drinks, sank a set, why not if it's going to be fun? But if it's more serious, sit down around the table, cutting the turkey, maybe saying prayer before meal. No.
You're forgetting about when your family's crazy and you don't want to introduce him to that too soon because he'll run away.
Right. Right. Well, I didn't want to talk about your crazy family.
Especially after a few eggnogs.
I love my family, for the record. And lastly, should I even bother with first dates during this hectic time of year? Like, is it a good time to even go out and start finding people to date?
Yeah, I think there's something special about the holiday spirit and the Christmassy vibe that's happening, especially like in downtown Montreal. I would say definitely it's a great time to meet people.
You're saying it's a romantic time to fall in love. Oh.
Yeah. Well, there's no wrong time for love. You know?
Yeah,
love doesn't follow a schedule.
No one's asking you, Sam. It's me.
You're the expert now. I'm sorry. I should be asking you.
This is my game. She's going to hook up this Christmas season. It's going to be thanks to me, not you.
Yeah, Kat's going to be the best man in the wedding. Thank you for that advice. It's amazing advice.
You're welcome.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Vinny and Nikki in the Morning podcast. Stay tuned for more podcasts and make sure you listen to the show weekdays from 5:30 to 8:20 only on the Beat 92.5. The Beat 92.5.